Jack. That's so sweet. Oh, I think back on that. We were really young. I had just turned 18. I turned 18 my first week of school and met George and thought he was strange at the first time we ever met, but it didn't take too long and my opinion of him began to deepen, and what value I found in him. So I'm going to tell you girls what to look for in a man in a single word, and that's integrity. And that this is be the definition of integrity, real integrity, and that is somebody who sees the word of God and will change to what it says. George said he'd never seen anything like that. But as soon as he saw it, he grabbed it. He didn't walk around with a question mark, doubting. Whatever he saw in the Word, he just grabbed it and said, well, that's what I believe. And took it like he'd been believing it all his life. And it's that quality about him that attracted me to him. And he's still that way. And I'm still attracted. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this immense privilege that we can come to your word and look into it and find out your will, find out your ways, and make them our own. So help us today, Holy Spirit. Help me to say what you want me to say in the way you want me to say it. And help all the people that are listening to hear what you want them to hear the way you want them to hear it. And we'll be just like Pastor George. And we'll say, well, that's what I believe. And we'll take it and we'll be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. My goodness, was a marvelous night last night. Great to watch the power of God at work. So we're going to feed on the Word of God today. So if you would, if you please open your Bible to Proverbs 4:20 and just to let everybody know, I'm going to read from the King James Version today. That's little unusual. I normally would go to the Amplified Bible. Why? Because it's got more words and that's more like me. Pastor George uses the King James Version, and that's because it has less words and that's more like him. So just to let you know, I preach longer than he does because I have more words. But we're going to go to the King James Bible so you don't know, right? It'll be just right. Amen. Okay, so my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from my eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health and healing, we could say, to all their flesh. This is a really key scripture. It's really a pivotal point in the whole Bible. And we're going to see today how this word helps us tonight. But it also is a word that will help you from this point forward and forever. You know, how many of you have ever heard of people who got a miracle, but then, as we might say, whatever they had came back on them or they lost it? Have you ever heard of that? Well, yeah, it's happened. It's happened. But that's not the will of God. That's not what he wants. And so we're going to go to the scripture and find out what he has to say about it. Now, first of all, let's just take this verse apart, just phrase by phrase. My son. Now, who is this written to? Well, actually, this is, of course, written mostly by Solomon. And it's written from Solomon to his son, or you could say to his sons. He had more than one. To his son, but it's even more so was written from the father to his son. Didn't Jesus attend to his words? Did he incline his ear to the father's sayings? Did he ever let them depart from his eyes? Did he keep them in the midst of his heart? You know, some people think that Jesus just spewed out the word of God just because he automatically knew it. But no, Bible says he set aside all his divine privilege, all his divine knowing, and he subjected himself and became even like we are, meaning that he did what he did we have to do. And he did that on purpose to show us that we can do what he did. And so he gave his attention. We know that he was in the temple. We know it says that he was subject to his parents. We know that he was studying. He was listening. We can read the picture of the Old Testament and study the Jewish understanding, and we can understand the life that Jesus lived. And so this word was written from the Father to his Son Jesus. But the good news that I have for you today is John 1:12 says, as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. And so have you received him?
Yes.
How many have received him? Every one of you that raised your hands and said, I have received him, then you are a son of God. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. What does that mean? It's Hebrew for daddy. When we say daddy, it pictures possession. My daddy. It has an acknowledgement of the love that a father has towards a child and the love that the child has towards the father. You know, anybody can be a father. Any man can be a father. Oh, but it takes an anointing from God to be a daddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you find a person like I described in Pastor George, he'll be a marvelous father and a wonderful daddy. I love being in Israel because here you see children running around and you'll hear them, Abba, 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 Abba. It's so wonderful. The little children, they run up to their dads and he picks them up. Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. So we know from this scripture that God has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts so that we can cry out, Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. So when Proverbs 4 says, my son, he's talking to you. Yeah, but I'm a daughter. Does that leave us out? Well, 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So he didn't leave anyone out. Every one of us are children of God if we have received him. Say, I am a child of God. So Proverbs 4 is talking to me. Now look at the end of this verse. It says they are life to those that find him and health to all their flesh. So he is talking here to his children about his desire for us to be well. God wants us well. We could say it this way. It's God's will for us to be well. It's his desire. In fact, 3 John 2 says, beloved, or you could say, my sons, my daughters, my children, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prospering. This is the picture of the heart of that daddy father. I want more than anything for you. I want your soul to prosper so that you can be in health and that you can prosper in all things in life. So now the end of this verse, looking at it again, it says that that the will of God and the words of God, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, this word health that we see in the English, in my Bible, in fact, I meant to send a picture of this to put on the screen. But in my Bible and in many Bibles, the word health there, actually there's a little note by it in the margin, and that note says medicine. That's because the Hebrew word there be translated medicine, so we could read it that way. They are life to those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. So I decided to look and see, what does the word medicine mean? You know, we assume we know what it means, but we often define words in our thinking based on our limited experience and what you've used medicine for and the view that you had on it, the place that it had in your life. So I went to a very objective person, the dictionary. And this is what the online dictionary said. Medicine, a compound or a preparation used for the treatment or the prevention of disease, especially a drug taken by mouth. That's really good. And it's real important to think about it. It's for the prevention of disease as well as the treatment or the remedy of a disease. Medicine also can mean, when you say he practices medicine or what is medicine, it's the science and art of dealing with the maintenance of health. The maintenance of health. So here, this gives us a picture that medicine is, in from God's perspective, is taking things by mouth that maintain health, but also will provide healing when things get out of line. That means the Word of God is our cure-all to end-all. What a wonderful, rich medicine. Now, we don't have any medicine in the natural world that will do all that. It's broken up into literally thousands and thousands of things. We identify them, you know, the things that we commonly identify as medicines are the things that we buy for the treatment or for the remedy. But there are other things that we might call vitamins, might call supplements. But we could also say food. Food is designed for our bodies to provide a way of preventing disease and maintaining a place of health. But God says that whole concept of maintaining health, the concept of living in divine health, and the concept of fixing things when they're broken is all summed up in His words. So His words maintain our health, and His words will provide the healing that we need. In fact, the Bible tells us He sent His word and healed them. You know, Matthew 8:23, the leper came to Jesus and he said, look, I know you can. I've heard about you. And I know that you can heal me if you will. In other words, there was a question mark right there. Faith begins when the will of God is known, but faith will end. It comes to a whoa, nearly stop. It comes, it ends right there when the question mark comes into place. And but Jesus, He answered that. And when you look at it and you see what's really happening, the scripture, it says, and Jesus, reaching out His hand, touched him, saying, I will. But the word I will, it runs so much broader and deeper than, sure, I will. Yeah, okay. Because in our minds, we could say, well, yeah, this time, or for that guy, in that case. But we see in this, I will, not just an I'm willing, but a picture of His nature. It's actually in the Hebrew form. It's a Hebraism. And when he said, I will, it means I delight. It's something I delight in. And the word will there in the Greek form, it means I love to. I'm disposed to do it. In other words, I can't help myself. It's what I'm here for. And so this picture that we have where this leper, think about it, leprosy, a very ugly, you should sometime go ahead and look up online, Google that, Bing that, search for it, and just look for images of leprosy in its different forms. And it is a vicious, gnarly, hideous, unforgiving, relentless disease. And it takes on all kinds of forms. And it eats away. It doesn't just make sick. It so destroys and erodes the very presence of the body and tissue of all forms. It's horrific, and it's a horrific death. And it chews away and eats away at the body, just little parts at a time. But Jesus, unfearing, when the leper said, I know you will. I know you can. I know you can, but only if you will. And Jesus, with the force of faith, with the force of compassion, with the force of demonstration, the depth of his love, reached out to him and said, whoa, I will be thou made whole. Be clean. Be free. Jesus couldn't even wait to touch him. It just came out of him. His hands reached out. His heart reached out. His words reached out. Yes. That's Jesus. Acts 10:38. I love this verse. I don't know. It's one that we should have so etched in our hearts and our minds and pictured. The summary of Jesus' mission, how God, the Father, anointed Jesus, the Son, with the Holy Ghost, his Spirit, and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That ought to answer a lot of questions. That ought to settle a lot of things. That ought to erase a lot of question marks. God is for it. Jesus is for it. The Holy Ghost is for it. The Word is for it. And Jesus went about just looking anywhere he could, looking for somebody that would believe just enough that he could get his will to them, get his will in them, get his will for them, and manifest it, because he hates the devil. He hates sin. He hates sickness. He hates disease. He hates that because he loves you. So his word is there to bring life and health to those that find them, to all their flesh. So that's from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, everything that's in between. Now this says to us, we just quoted, that his word in our hearts, his word in our hearts will maintain the healing that we receive. It's sad, but I will say this to everyone that ever receives healing, especially in an atmosphere like we have, like we had last night, like we know we'll be here again tonight, like we have in our church services every Sunday, like we have at our altar and somebody prays for you, or a demonstration and a working of the gifts of the Spirit, where you see the gifts of healings in operation and the work, gift of faith at work, and we see those things, you will be challenged. Either in that healing that you receive, or at some point in the future, you will be challenged, because Jesus told us in Mark chapter 4 that Satan comes immediately to steal the word. That's what he does. Just as Jesus is disposed, is inclined, it's his nature, it's his way, it's his thought, it's him. He can't help it to reach out to you with healing. In the very same way, Satan, his nature is to take it from you. His nature is to steal from you. His nature is to go about doing bad, doing evil, and undoing the works of Jesus. He is the exact opposite enemy of the Father, the exact opposite enemy of Jesus, and he's the exact opposite enemy of the Word of God. So when he comes to steal the Word, it's up to us to know how to not let him do this. Don't let him do it. You know, the thing that with God is we're not just dumb, dopey blobs of nothing in the earth. We are created in his image. He desired fellowship with us, desired partnership with us. He desired cooperation with us. Bible says in Corinthians, we are co-laborers with him. You have a part. This is part of having that free will, that free choice. It's for you. It's for you, baby. You got to take hold of some things for yourself. Now, some people don't even want to hear about this because they don't want that responsibility. They don't want to take that part. But you know, it's not hard to do because the Holy Spirit's there to help you. The Word will empower you. If you just go to it, the very power is in the Word to cause itself to come to pass. But you got to go to it. It doesn't just jump out of a closed book and jump on you. Not as many amens on that one. So his word is in our heart. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What does the devil want to do? He wants to steal your healing. He wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy your testimony. But there's no need to fear about that, because Jesus said that he has come to give life and to give life more abundantly. More abundantly than what? Jesus came to give life more abundantly than the devil has power to steal it from you. He came to give life more abundantly than the devil has ability to kill you. Jesus came to give you the life more abundantly than the devil has to destroy you, to destroy the Word. Jesus has come to give us life and far more abundance than anything the devil can do. Jesus is the life giver. Satan is the thief and destroyer. And it's really important that you keep those two separate. They don't ever work hand in hand. They don't ever work hand in hand. The devil is not the teacher of the church. See, if I had an organ player up here right now, we'd just hoop a little bit and dance a little bit, but we better stay focused, okay? So let's go back now to Proverbs 4:20 again. My son, we established that. Attend to my words. Attend to my words and give them attention. So what we see beginning right now, let me read the rest of that. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those that find them, health to their flesh. A doctor would absolutely fail in his mission if he was to either give you a prescription and you don't go fill it, or he gives you a prescription, you go fill it, and you have no instructions on how to take it. That would be pretty sad. A good doctor sees to it, not only do you have the medicine, but you know what to do with the medicine. You know how to take it. You know how to apply that. But the rest is still up to you. You can't ignore the instructions, nor can you change them. You know, this is a serious situation. You have to take the medicine. It won't do you any good. If you have the medicine on the table beside your bed, is that going to help you? What if you put it in your pocket and you carry it with you all day long? You do know that's not going to help, right? If it's in the cabinet, will that help?
No.
No. What if you just read the instructions? Will that help? What has to happen? It has to be ingested. It has to be put on the inside. And so must the Word of God. Word of God doesn't do you any good sitting on your nightstand. Word of God doesn't do you any good sitting in your lap. The Word of God doesn't do any good on the coffee table, in your car. It doesn't do any good until you've put it into your heart. Medicine goes in your mouth. You have to put this in your heart. You've got to get it on the inside. That means you can't take it just on a whim. You can't take it only when it's convenient. You have to make a decision. When you get a medicine from the doctor, you have to make a quality decision. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take it just like it says. If I have to set an alarm on my phone, I have to write it down. My husband, he takes his supplements. My goodness, he carries a little box with him, and they're all marked, and he carries that in his pocket. And if we go out to eat and he didn't take them in the restaurant, well, he'll go back out to the car and get them. He's got them with him all the time. Diligence, 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 diligence. And until we have that mindset, that willingness to adjust our schedule, our time, our thinking, our lives to follow the instructions that God gives us for taking His medicine, then we're going to get the same haphazard results from the Word that we're investing in it. You have to do it exactly like Dr. Jesus has told you to do. And I want to present this out to you as an absolute fact. Self-medication has cost people their lives. Self-diagnosis and self-medication. Well, I don't think I need to take that. Well, I think I've had enough of that. Well, I don't know about that. Well, I forgot. Well, I'll pick it up again tomorrow. Oh, yeah, what about that? Or let's see, if one helps me, I think I'll just double up. When you don't do the instructions that the doctor gives you for that medication, you put your life on the line. And many times, people lose their lives over not taking the medication or not taking it with the instructions that they were given. Now, in natural things, you know, if you have an issue, you have to go back to the doctor. In natural things, when something's not working, you go back to the doctor. When something doesn't seem to be working as it should, you go back, you check yourself first, then you go back to the doctor. Well, we have the Word of God, and when something's not working as we think it should, we go back to the doctor. We go back to the doctor. We go back to listen to what Jesus has said, not only in the Word of God, but also through the ministry of the preaching of the Word. Now let's look at those instructions for preaching the Word of God. My son, attend to my words. What does it mean to attend to? Well, again, let's just look at the dictionary. To attend to, it means to give attention to. Now, why am I doing this? Why am I giving you these definitions? So you can not just know them in your head, but so you can check yourself. Is that what you were thinking? You can adjust yourself. Is that what I do? I need to adjust myself. I need to do more and give more attention, be of more diligence. My son, attend to, give attention to. It means to go to regularly. To go to regularly, to wait on, to take care of, to listen to heed, to devote time to apply oneself to. You mean attend means all that?
Mm-hmm.
But here's one that you're really not going to like. To take responsibility for. Oh, you should like it though. What a privilege to not only cooperate with the King of the universe, but to operate the way God operates, that we can have His thoughts, know His will, and operate in His ways and have that level of authority and dominance over natural things, natural challenges, the same way that Jesus did when He walked on this natural earth. That deserves a better amen.
Amen.
So what's a good example of this? Will it be a nurse that would attend a patient? Or maybe even better, as a mother who is attending a child? And in light of what we're talking about, say, mother who is attending a sick child. What would that look like? Well, they watch over. They check on. They have the ear for. They are familiar with the sound. They're familiar with that child. They're familiar with the needs. They're familiar. They look into it and it speaks to them. And so God is telling us the first thing that we do in taking this medicine is to attend to His Word. Be so familiar with it. Know what it says. Look it up. Study it. Think about it. And do what He tells us to do so that we are familiar with the movings and the ways of His Word where healing is concerned. This is more than just a casual attention to the Word. You can't have a take it or leave it attitude. You can't have a once in a while attitude. What if a nurse had that attitude towards a patient or a mother towards her child? Well, when I get around to it, yeah. Oh, I forgot. Well, that's not the attitude we have to have, most particularly when we are facing challenges. But if we remember what medicine is for, if we'll have this kind of attitude and attend to the Word of God this way, we won't have near so many challenges. This is more than mental agreement. This is more than a general acceptance that this is the Bible and it's the Word of God and it's inspired. Well, praise God, then you need to do something with it. No more than you can look at a bottle of pills and say, this is medicine. It will help me. So you have to give the Word of God full, undivided attention. Brother Hagin, in his book, God's Medicine, he said, you must come to God's Word in a constant, careful, diligent, reverent, prayerful manner. What marvelous words. In fact, we carry this little book and I recommend it. We have several different books on healing, of course, but this is a pocket one and it's called God's Medicine. And so you can do like my dad told me to do. Read that and read that until you're saturated with it. And that's what we're looking for, is that saturation point. First Peter, let me make this statement first. You must give attention to the Word of God at the level you expect to receive from it. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word so that you may grow thereby. Just because you hear something doesn't mean that you have grown. Babies don't grow because they had a bottle. They grow on the basis of what? Continual feeding, continual exercise. Continually they take in and they work off what they took in and take more in. And if you want peace in your house, then you better let them take in before they wear off everything that they just took in. Then you have to grow. You grow continually. Hebrews 5:13 and 14. Everyone who continues to feed on milk, or you could say to feed only on milk, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. Strong meat belongs to those of full age or maturity who, how? By use or by using the word of God, they have their senses exercised or developed to discern both good and evil. I mean, so exercised in applying the word of God that even your senses, your sense of hearing and seeing and touching are no longer ruled. And how you feel is no longer what talks to you louder than the word of God. But the word of God talks to you louder than the pain. The word of God talks to you louder than the symptoms. The word of God is talking to you louder than what the doctor said, the banker said, the bank account said. The word of God is talking to you louder than the fear. The word of God is talking to you louder than your own thoughts. The word of God is so loud, it drowns out everything else. You can get to that point quickly, but you don't get to that point automatically. In fact, to get to that point, you have to put other things out and put the Word of God in. That means you have to, people wonder why the Old Testament had so many rules and laws. Some of those laws still apply to us today in order to know how to live, how to function. They're marvelous. We shouldn't disregard them. But some of those laws where you think, I don't understand why they had to do that, but some of them, the Bible in Hebrews says they were for our example. They're to teach us something. And one of the things God was really big on with the Jews was don't mix the seed. Don't mix it. Don't create new seed by mixing things together. And why would he have them do that? Because when you mix the seed, you begin to lose the purity. When you mix the word of God, the seed of the word of God that Jesus talked about in Mark 4, he said, the sower sows the word, and the word, the sower sows the seed. And later he said, the sower sows the word. So the word is the seed. But when you mix that seed with the seed of unbelief from the TV, when you mix that seed of strife by watching that on TV, when you mix it with the seed of strife and violence, watching that on TV, listening to it, reading about it, thinking about it, talking about it, you mix, when you yield to all of those things, they drain out the life of God, and it waters down the power and the strength of the Word of God working in us. So when I say other things out, it merely means other things out. When you're in a fight for your life, or if you don't ever give time to where you are so focused on this and put other things aside and look only to this in a quality atmosphere, as Brother Hagin said, what do you call it? A constant, prayerful, reverent, diligent manner. If you don't ever do that and you mix it with the seed of other things, don't expect the kind of harvest that you're looking for. Amen. So, how do we incline our ears to his sayings? How do we get them? How do we get this into our hearts? Well, next part of that verse says, incline thine ear to my sayings. Incline them. How do we incline? What does that mean? You know, not a word that, or a phrase we use real often, but to be inclined to something. What is to be inclined? Always looking for it. Always watching for it. Jesus put it this way. He said, but those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're the ones that are satisfied. To incline, to incline your ears, to be hungry for that. And you know, whatever you give your attention to, you'll eventually get hungry for it. A lot of times, there's things you just don't think you like, but if you give attention to it, well, your desires will change. So how do we do that? We take our ears, we take them, and we get to where the word is being preached. We have to treat the preaching of the word with great value. Put great value on that. Yeah, it's really cold outside this morning. I'm going to stay in my warm bed and not go to church. Now, you don't do that on Monday morning when it's time to go to work. Not more than a couple of times. What are you going to put more value on? Yeah, but it's so beautiful outside. Summer's coming. What do you put more value on? The Word talks about that. Those are people whose God is their belly, whose God is their desire, whose God is their natural appetite. But I'd rather watch a movie than listen. I'd rather watch a movie than put on the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. I'd rather watch a movie than listen to Brother Copeland or Sister Copeland or Brother Hagin on YouTube. I'd rather. Okay. But what outcome would you rather have? So on purpose, we open our ears. On purpose, we listen to the preaching of the Word. On purpose, then we go to where the atmosphere is right for hearing, where the distractions are moved out of the way and the focus is the ministry of the Word of God for you to listen to, respond to, and work with it the same way you work yeast into the dough. We listen, we hear, and we're responding as it's being spoken. That's why I love your amens. You should say amen even when you don't like what's being said. Because it's working it in there and you'll get happy about it. Yeah, but I don't understand the Bible. Well, Proverbs says, with all you're getting, get understanding. Yeah, but I don't know how to get it. How do I get it? Well, here's the first step. Believe it anyway. Believing is not, it does not dependent on understanding. If you try to understand it without believing, you won't get real understanding. People who try to understand it before they'll believe it are called atheists. So we're not that way. We believe it because He said to. We obey that. We get in line with it. If He said, by His stripes you were healed, then... Yeah, well, how's that work, Pastor Terry? Well, understanding how it works won't keep it from working in you. But here's the thing. If you will believe it before you understand it, the believing it will bring understanding to you. Praise the Lord. So why is that important to believe? Because believing, faith is the key. It's what makes the Word of God work for you. Faith. Matthew 8:13, Jesus said to the centurion, be it done to you as you have believed. Matthew 9:29, the two blind men, Jesus said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. Mark 5:34, He said to the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith is what, it's the connector between what God has put in His Word and that Word showing up and doing its work in you. Now, how does that faith come? Where do we get the faith? Is it something we just want to believe? No, it is a decision. Your decision is involved. But it's not just about your decision. This is the beauty of the Lord. He doesn't leave anything just up to you. He's so engaged in the process. He's so part of the process. He so wants you to have it that He has put Himself into every step of the process. And so Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So when you go to the Word, you incline your ears to His Word and you're listening to His Word. What is happening is the power that's in that Word is going down into your heart and it's producing the faith. The faith is there. Faith is there. Faith always comes when you incline to the Word. Faith comes because faith is in the Word. It's all in there. Talk about a power-packed vitamin. Everything that you need is in the Word. Even the faith you need to believe the Word when you hear it is in it when you hear it. What's the next thing that this says? Even right now, your faith is growing. Even right now, your faith is, it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. They're just some little beans. We're dropping faith beans in your heart, and it's coming up so fast. And by the end of this service, bless the Lord, there's going to be a strong stalk that you can walk right on and take hold of what heaven has for you. Number three, it was, he said, let them not depart from your eyes. You have to look at them. This is not a cliche. It's not a saying. He really means put them in front of your eyeballs. Put them in front of your eyeballs. And not just quote them. Quoting them is fine. Quoting them is good. But that's not good enough. You have to put them in front of your eyes. Let your eyes look at them. Not enough to hear them quoted. Put them in front of your eyes. Bring your Bible. Underline them in your Bible. Highlight them. Draw little stars around them. Little pictures. Whatever it takes for you. But where your eyes see them. They stand out to you. And when God's talking to you and something comes to you, write it down. Put it in front of your eyes. There have been times I've carried a little New Testament in my hand and put in every traffic light that was red, and I'd stop. I'd open it up and look, because I needed an answer. I needed help. I needed to get pressure off. I needed healing. Put them in front of my eyes. Put them in front of my eyes. I got to change something. Put them in front of my eyes. Carried it with me walking in the mall. Put it on a 3x5 card. Put it on the mirror. Put it on the refrigerator. And you know, you can do that sometimes. There's this one scripture we've had on our refrigerator, and we've had it on there for years. I probably can go a year without even knowing it's there. Why? You get used to seeing it, you quit looking at it. You have to not let them depart from your eyes. And it's not just a matter even of your eyeballs glancing over the letters. You have to look at them. You have to look into them. You have to see what he's saying and let these natural eyeballs bring vision to the eyes of your spirit, the eyes of your faith, and begin to look at what that scripture is saying to you. Look at what he's saying. You don't just read over them, and then you begin to see a picture of what that word describes. You see yourself well. You don't see yourself sick. If you close your eyes and look at yourself and you still see yourself sick, you still see yourself poor, you still see yourself under pressure. If you close your eyes and you see yourself dying, you see yourself laying there, you see them all panicked. You see them running to your aid. You see the emergency team at your house. You see them pumping your heart. You see them trying to resuscitate you. You see yourself in the hospital. You see your family beside your bed crying and weeping. You see yourself passing away. You see yourself dead. You see yourself them carrying you out, slipping you into a bag and zipping it over your face. You see them in the funeral home, putting you in a box, and the people marching by, weeping and crying as they go. You see yourself with that lid closing over you. If you see yourself rolled out to the limousine, carried to the cemetery, if you see yourself dropped into the ground and the dirt thrown over the box and the flowers wilting above, season in and season out and season in and season out, then you have let the Word of God depart from your eyes. You put the Word of God at the very hint of a thought of seeing yourself still sick, seeing yourself afraid, seeing yourself under pressure. At the very sense that any of that is still working in you, you go to the Word of God. You look at them with your eyes till you see them on the inside and you see yourself alive. You see yourself well and change the movie that is playing in your head. Change it. Change it. Change the channel. Even everything that we say from this point forward is designed to help you change that movie. Fear is a flag. When you sense fear, when you tense up, when it rises up, when something on the inside flares up on the inside and it's fear, then you put your eyes right back on the Word of God. Brother Copeland often says, many times he'll say, you can't fight thoughts with thoughts. You have to fight thoughts with spoken words. Well, how does he say that? Because in Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, don't take the thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to... Don't take that thought. Don't take it by what you say. But take the thought that's in God's Word by saying what you see from the Word of God. Number four, keep God's words in the midst of your heart. What did he say about that? Because they're life to those that find them, health to their flesh. The Word of God will, absolutely will, produce life. The Word of God will produce life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Why is that? John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word and God are one in the same. What God spoke that was written on a page still carries the same life that it had when He spoke it. It's still quick. It's still sharp. It's still alive. And it still will pierce to the dividing between your soul, your spirit, the joints, and the marrow. It will drive right down into the very depths of your heart, and it will produce life because His Word, Jesus said, His words, my words, are life. They are life. When Jesus wanted someone to live, He said, live. When God wanted Adam to live, He said, live. And the life was in those words. Now notice that it says that we are to keep these words in the midst of our hearts. Not in our heads. A lot of people think because they have a lot of head knowledge about the Bible that it's in their heart. But not necessarily so. And this instruction also says you are to put them in your heart. How do you get it in your heart and not just in your head? You can look at them with your eyes. You can listen to them with your ears. And it just stop in your head. How do we get it into our hearts? Well, the next line gives us a great clue. And you may have never heard this before because I just found it out. So it could be you've never heard it either. So the next line in the King James, it says, they are life to those that find them. The Hebrew word, therefore, find can also be translated enunciates or speaks them. I mean, this is the picture. The Word is life to those who say them. who speak them. Now it fits right in line with what we've always known, but by putting it in this same verse, we see it's not optional. It indicates, because it can also be translated find, it indicates that this is something that has to be, it requires that constant, diligent, reverent, prayerful approach. It requires that searching, the looking for it, and not just saying something. It's not about just parroting what's on a page, but it's about drawing out. It's about putting in and drawing out. And this is something that the Jews know very well. And I was reading about this again yesterday. I love it. They study out loud. They talk the word to each other. I tell you, if you've never had the pleasure of watching Yeshiva, which is a Jewish study center, study hall, if you've never had the pleasure of watching that at work, it's a treat. There may be something on YouTube, and if you can find it, it's worth it. So what are they doing? It's loud. Now, what do we do in our classes? Shh, shh, shh. Teacher's talking. They respond. Now, I'm not saying that they've never had instruction. We see this from this very scripture. My son, attend to my words. So there's instruction. But, oh, they work it. They're talking to one another. It gets very loud. And they recite the word over and over. So there could be some that are talking back and forth. They debate it. They argue it. Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but this scripture says. And oh, but this scripture says. And they build their case. They build their case for what they believe. And then over in another corner, you might see one student by himself just speaking the scripture, speaking the scripture, speaking the scripture. What's he doing? Putting it in his heart. And this commentary I was reading yesterday, those who only study in silence will forget the Torah, or the scripture, that they have learned, and that is a sin. So Proverbs 4:20 now, it's a picture. Okay, what did he say? He said, what I want you to do, I want you to attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, don't let it depart from your eyes, keep it in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, life to those that speak them, and they are health to all their flesh. So this is a picture though, now that we have the ears, the eyes, the speaking, it's a picture that it doesn't really give us a word for, but Joshua 1:8 does. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night so that you can observe to do according to all that's written therein. I would also say so that you can be all that's written therein, so that you can have everything that's written therein, so that everything that's in the Word of God can go in you, so that it can become part of you, so that it becomes the same, you know, John 1, the Word was with God, Word was God. It goes on to say, and the Word dwelt among us, the Word became flesh. So that Word can become a healed heart. That Word can become healed eyes. That Word can become a new liver, new kidneys, new joints. That Word can become whatever, and then it'll just swallows up everything that's not the Word of God. And you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. And he says that process is called meditation, to meditate the Word of God. How do we meditate the Word? Well, we've said it. We look at them with our eyes. We say them, which also feeds them into our ears. You know, you will believe you more than you'll believe me. There's something about it. When you are speaking the Word of God out loud, your inner ear is hearing, even not only your outer ear. While I'm talking to you, just this outside ear is hearing. But when you are talking to you, It's going back into your natural ears, but there's an inner ear of your own voice that's speaking those words. And what you say is what you will believe. Far far quicker than what somebody else says to you. So all of this now tells us that this is putting God's word into our heart. It's depositing this word into our inner man, depositing it into our spirit being and into our soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And Paul said in Thessalonians, I pray that God would keep you whole, spirit and soul and body. Your spirit is part of your inner man, and so is your soul. Peter called it the hidden man of the heart. And those two are forever connected. Your soul and your spirit are divinely united and housed in your body. Well, how do you separate the two? How do you know the two? The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word knows how to get itself into your mind, into your will, to change your thoughts, to change your will, and into your emotions, and to cause your emotions to line up with His will. But it gets down into your heart where it will produce what? What does it produce when it gets in your heart? Faith, say it.
Faith.
Yes, the word will produce that faith into your heart. So we feed the word of God into our hearts with our mouth. The power, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What you do with your words determines whether you have life or you have death. Every word you speak is being fed down into your inner man. Every word you hear is being fed down into your inner man, and it'll either produce life or death. So when Deuteronomy says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose. Therefore, you choose life. So you choose what you say. You choose to speak what He says. You choose to hear what He says, and you feed them down into your spirit. And faith then begins to grow up. And when it begins to grow up, you know what it wants to do? It wants to come out. It wants to come out. Faith is there. Faith is growing. But as it grows, it starts to and wants to come out. You put it in with your mouth, but you know how you let it out? The same way. You put it in with your mouth, you take it out with your mouth. So you want to put in what you want, but you also want to take out what you want. You don't want to confess the word to put it in there and then disagree with the word and say something else. The scripture says in James, he said, Jesus said, out of the treasury of a man's heart, he's going to bring forth what's in there. He's a good man, or the one who's going to draw out good things. He puts good things in so he can draw good things out. But the evil man, or the man who's focused on evil, has put the evil things in his heart, and that's all that you've got to come out. And then Jesus went on to say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So you got to put more in there than anything else. Lots more in there than anything else. And then let those words draw out lots more of the Word of God than anything else. So what does that picture look like? What does that take us to? The foundation scripture, the core, the heartbeat of our faith in God. Mark 11, 22, 23. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Jesus said, and whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, not doubt in his heart, but here it is, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass, then he'll have what he says. We have to first of all believe the principle. It's not just about I'm going to say something and believe that's going to come to pass, but then I'm going to say something else later and it won't really matter. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. It's just a saying. Everybody says that. That's just killing me. I'm so sick. Don't wonder if that stuff works. No. What releases faith is believing that what I say, I'm going to have it. Why? That's attending to the word. Because that's what Jesus said. That's what Proverbs says. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to have what I say. Not you can have what you say. You're going to have what you say. And so we see this. We put the word in our hearts, thought about the words, taken that picture, rolled it over in our minds by muttering it to ourselves, by His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. Well, if by His stripes I'm healed, then that situation is gone. By His stripes I'm healed. I can see myself well. By His stripes I was healed. By His stripes I was. Wait a minute. He's already done it. I see Him on that cross and I see the pain. I see the trouble. I see the diagnosis. I see the Roman soldier looking at Jesus on the cross. And that Roman soldier, oh my goodness, that soldier, it looks like he's got that same diagnosis in his hand that I heard. And he yells up to Jesus and he says, "You've got leukemia. You've got cancer. You're going blind. You're so sick, you'll never get well. There's no hope for you. It's all over." I see that. He gave it all to Him. He gave it all to Him. He's got it. He took it. Oh, wait, that paper had my name on it. That has my name. He was reading my trouble. He was reading what they told me. He put that on Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Well, if He took it, that means I don't have it. I don't see myself with it. I see my arm moving. I see my shoulder working. I see my mind at work. I see my brain clear and clean and strong. I see myself living with long life. He satisfies me. He shows me His salvation. And with every word that's going in your heart that way, faith is growing, faith is growing, faith is growing, faith is growing. And all of a sudden, when you're not even thinking about it, you find yourself sitting up in the bed in the middle of the night. Whoa, by His stripes, I was healed. I thought about this the other day. My daughter, she was little, I don't know, probably 2 years old or so. And we confess the word with our kids so much. We said it to them all the time. We were in a hotel room getting ready to go to a service. I was still working in television at the time, getting ready to leave to go over for the night. And we had just ironed some things. And the iron had somebody helping me, and I don't remember who did, but the iron got put up on a table, seemingly away from the 2-year-old. But it was Aubrey, so. So Aubrey, without us looking, even though the iron had been unplugged for a bit, went over and flat-palmed her hand on the plate of that iron. Well, you can't imagine. She screamed. I screamed, "Jesus!" Pastor George there, he came running in. And we just began immediately. It was there. Thank you, Jesus. It was there. Scream, "No, you're healed." And we began to speak the word and walk the floor over with her. That top layer of skin raised up like a puff pastry. The whole palm of her hand just raised up to a layer of skin, a giant bubble of skin. Immediately began to fill up with fluid. We called down to the front desk and they brought up their first aid kit and they began to just pour some sort of water that they had, a treatment. They just flooded her hand to stop the burn. You know, when you touch something hot like that, even after you lift it off, it continues to cook. And so they're pouring that on there and pouring it on. We're walking. Of course, she cried for a while, but she just quit crying. Well, I didn't even go to the service that night. I kept her. And we just walked the floor, speaking the word. Oh, Lord, thank you. Speaking the word. Speaking the word. Loving on her. We probably took her to service, if I know us, but I didn't go to work. I remember that. It was 30 years ago. But we kept her in that environment. Just kept it there. Kept it there. And so she had quit crying, but boy, that thing, you know, can imagine. It didn't look good. It just looked so red. And I just keep remembering that giant puff of skin, the whole palm of her hand. So time to go to bed. Put her in the bed. Whenever our kids were not well, we put them right between us. We kept that time Charles Capps' little book. I still have my original God's Word and Confessions for Healing. So we kept the Word close by and reading the Word, you know, and then we went to sleep somewhere in the middle of the night. Aubrey sat straight up in the bed and screamed out, "By His stripes, I am healed." Laid right back down. We woke up in the morning. No problem. Nothing. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What if we hadn't put the word in our heart? Well, we do what we got to do, but we still go to it. We go to it. We would have, right then and there, we would have found the word, and we would have called somebody that had the word working in them. It's no good to call somebody that's going to say, "Well, you know, if it's God's will," or can only talk to you natural things. You know, natural things are good. They help. But if that's all you've got, you're going to fall short at some point. And we have to train ourselves in spiritual things above and beyond the natural things and let them be in there. And I thank God that time and again, we have seen the Word of God work. Mark 11. He believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he shall have what he says. He shall. Why? Because faith has been put in and faith is drawn out. So let's feed the Word of God into our hearts. We've been feeding it into our hearts, but I want you to practice doing that. I've been feeding it into your heart. But I want to help you for a few minutes to feed it into your heart. You know, quite often, and this is not that this is wrong, but a lot of times we will declare the Word of God, boldly declare it, which can be more of what it should sound like when faith is released, but we try to release faith before faith has been put in. So at the end of a message, we declare the word over what we've heard because faith has been put in. But again, if you will learn to put that word in you on your time with your voice, then when it goes in like that, then the time for the declaration that you make, not when Pastor George is telling you what to say, not when somebody else is telling you what to say, but because it's in there, it's coming out. Okay. So what I'm going to have you say some things, and we'll do that. But I don't want you to just to declare this. I want you to say it to yourself. I want you to talk these words to yourself. Put them into yourself. Okay? So based on Proverbs 4:20, say, "I am attending to God's word."
I am attending to God's word.
Now just say it to yourself. You don't even have to be very loud. I want you to do this. For you, I am attending to God's word. Say it. I am hearing what it says. It's been in my eyes. It's been in my ears. And as I say his words, They are going into my heart. Surely he bore my sicknesses. See, are you looking inside? Are you speaking those words? Just see yourself, those words. Just speak them down into yourself. Surely he carried my sorrows, my pains. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement that was needful for my peace was on him. And with his stripes I am healed. Jesus healed all that were sick. All includes me. It always includes me. Christ has redeemed me from the curse. The curse of sickness. The curse of disease. The curse of spiritual poverty. He redeemed me. The word says in Psalm, in Exodus 23, words, that he will take sickness away from me. He did that. Sickness is away from me. He fulfills the number of my days. Psalm 91 says, with long life, he satisfies me. I see myself with long life. Really long life. A high quality of life. I see myself strong. I see myself well. No evil will befall me. It will not come near me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, emotions. Bless the Lord, feelings. Bless the Lord, thoughts. Don't forget any of his benefits. He forgives all my mistakes. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He sent his word and healed me. His word that I heard today is working in me. It's working in me. It's working in me. I know it's working in me. I see it working in me. The word of God says, so shall his word be that goes from his lips, it will not return to him empty. It shall accomplish that which pleases him. It pleases him for me to be well. It pleases him for me to be free. Are you still speaking it down into yourself? Are you still speaking it in? Are you still seeing it going down? You almost could be looking down at yourself and be talking it down into your spirit. Every good gift comes down from the Father. He's not only the source of everything good, but His good gifts are always coming down. Healing is always coming towards me. I take it. I have it. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. It's mine. I've received it. It's working in me. I praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Sickness is a thing of the past. I'm a free man. I'm a free person. I'm a free child of God. And I receive from Him. And I just love everybody. I let go of unforgiveness. I see You, unforgiveness. Get out of there. You don't belong to me. I walk in love. I'm a creature of love. I'm born of love. I don't resist love. I don't resist forgiveness. I forgive just like He forgives. I love just like He loves. I receive His love. I walk in love. Love is working in me. Oh, love is working in me. His compassion is working in me. His compassion is flowing to me. His compassion is flowing through me. Oh, it's rising in me. Look out, devil. The love of God is working in me. I'm the compassion of God. Going somewhere to happen on somebody. God anointed Jesus to heal me. Jesus the healer. He's the same yesterday. And He never told anyone no. He's not telling me no. He's the same today and forever. He is the healer. He's my healer. I receive You, Jesus. You're my healer. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. See, those are all different ways healing can come. But this you always have with you. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. That is always, what does Romans say? The word of God is nigh you, even in your heart and in your mouth. The word of faith, which we preach. So many of you, it's working in you. You were receiving right then, working in you right then. Healing is working in you right now. The love of God is working in you right now. But as you go today, you just keep those words working. You just keep those words working. You just mutter them to yourself. That's one thing that meditate means, is to mutter. You know, by His stripes I'm healed. You know, by His stripes I was healed. Yep, already was. And if I already was, I still am. And if I still am, then I'm always going to be. Oh, thank God, by His stripes I was healed. You know, Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Yep, redeemed me from the curse of the law. Because He was made a curse for me. Yeah, but Pastor Terry, I don't know all those verses. Well, you know, that's what that little book is for. We've got other books right out there. We have specials and sales and all kinds of things. If you don't get it after all that we've offered you and have out there, then it's not God's fault. It's not my fault. Let's see. Who does that leave? You know the answer. So take hold of it. And like Brother Billy said last night, just make this healing day. Just make it healing day. All day today. Don't turn the radio on. Don't go turn something else on. Don't just start talking too many just natural things. And don't wah, wah, and complain about this and complain about that and find fault. Just walk in a place today. Don't fuss about anybody. Don't fuss about anything. Just come into a place and just come in there. So come in tonight so that you just float in the love of God. You just come in faith and you just, glory to God. Not only have I got what I need, that faith's working in me. And if there's somebody in here that doesn't have faith, I got enough to fix them too. I got enough to fix the whole section that I'm sitting in. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, I could walk in tonight. I'm going to lay hands on some sick folks myself. I'm going to be laying hands on people while I'm walking in the lobby. I'm going to lay my hands on some people at the hotel. I'm going to lay my hands on some people at the restaurant. I'm going to lay my hands. You might turn to the person next to you and say, look out, I'm going to lay hands on you. Yeah. Yeah, just do that. Just put your hands on the people. Just reach out to people by you. Just touch people. Just let the life of God. There's more working in you than you realize. You know, when faith works, you don't necessarily feel it any more than you feel them taters you ate last night while you were eating them. You know, you don't feel the taters until you get full. When you get full, you realize they're in there and they're doing something. Hallelujah. And you turn that, and that food turns into strength and it starts to flow out of you. It's flowing out. Are you letting it flow out? Faith. Don't let go. I didn't mean this. Don't just touch somebody. Put your hand. Look, it's okay. Let's just put your hands on them. Let faith flow. Let love flow. Just let that. Can you tell how strong your faith has gotten? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what I want to do today before we go is ask our prayer ministers to come, our altar ministers.